Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 15, studying Matthew chapter 15, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we begin, these reminders. To access all of our materials, always free, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For a list of all of these materials, send an email to free@ighradio.com. To receive text updates, text the word IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word, text IGHFREE to 55222. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, use our free self-paced online Bible study program. Start now by going to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, if you prefer to study by mail, call us toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request that series by using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Let's get started in our study of Matthew chapter 15. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. The Pharisees' concern in Matthew 15, like their concern regarding the Sabbath in Matthew 12, was more than likely grounded in good intentions. They sought to show proper respect for God, but as before, they did so by upholding the traditions of the Jewish elders rather than God's revealed will. Consequently, their desire to be obedient, while noble, demanded obedience that God never required. Before we continue our study of this text, consider the following references, one from Michael Wilkins and the other from David Garland. Wilkins notes this: "The traditions of the elders, therefore, came to refer to rules of Jewish life and religion, which in the course of centuries had come to possess a validity and sanctity equal to that of the written law, and which, as the oral law, were deemed equally with the written law to be of divine origin, and therefore consonant with and, for the most part, deducible from the written law." End of citation from Wilkins. And then Garland writes, "The Pharisees sought to promote obedience to God's law among the people and took for granted that true obedience would conform to their particular interpretation of the law. With their purity maps charting what was clean or unclean, permissible or forbidden, the Pharisees strove to impose their vision of what God required on all Israel. Maintaining purity was a key item in their agenda, and they applied to everyone many purity laws meant only for priests serving in the temple. The legislation in Exodus chapter 30, verses 18 through 21, for example, required priests engaged in the tabernacle service to wash their hands. Nowhere does the Bible stipulate that others must wash their hands for ritual purity." End of citation by Garland. Continuing our thoughts about Matthew 15, verses 3 through 9. As we noted in our introductory survey of Matthew 15, a large section of the chapter, just over 50%, centered on the washing and eating issue. We have already considered how important it was to the scribes and to the Pharisees. Let's take some time to see how Jesus answered their challenge. Immediately after the scribes and the Pharisees asked their question about the washing, about the eating issue, Jesus began to answer it. As you read through the 20 verses in the chapter that address this topic, you will quickly see that Jesus dealt with this matter in 3 separate stages, and that he did so to 3 different audiences. Jesus' first reply starts right after the question was asked, in 15:3, and it continues through 15:9. That first reply was directed to the scribes and to the Pharisees. Jesus addressed the matter again, this time with the multitude, in Matthew 15, verses 10 and 11. And then, in the third stage, Jesus answered the question that the disciples asked about the matter. That last segment started in Matthew 15:12 and continued through Matthew 15:20. Before we get started, a few additional observations to update what we have already learned from this text. First, we noted that on more than one occasion, Jesus was challenged by his adversaries about something that the disciples did. In this context, the scribes and the Pharisees asked Jesus about why the disciples did not observe the hand-washing tradition of the elders. In Matthew 12, Jesus was challenged again about his disciples' behavior, that time with reference to why they allegedly violated the Sabbath day ordinances. It's worthy to note that on yet another occasion, in Luke chapter 11, a Pharisee asked Jesus to eat with him. This time, Jesus was directly taken to task for his failure to follow the tradition of the elders. The text reads as follows, "And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner." Luke chapter 11, verses 37 and 38. Some of the remarks that Jesus made in response on that occasion parallel Jesus' strong denunciation of the scribes and the Pharisees that we find in Matthew chapter 23. And then second, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, the Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" This time, the disciples were challenged about what Jesus did. It's interesting to note that on these occasions, the adversaries of Jesus and or the disciples often went to Jesus about the disciples' faults, or they went to the disciples about Jesus' faults. This does not mean that Jesus was never directly confronted about something that he did or something that he taught. We just noted that a Pharisee directly confronted Jesus about his failure to observe the tradition of the elders, that passage again in Luke chapter 11. On a much broader scale, Jesus was challenged by the chief priest and the elders about his authority. In Matthew 21, verse 23, we read this, "Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?'" On another occasion, the setting where Jesus forgave the paralyzed man of his sins, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 and following, the religious leaders thought critically, meaning negatively, about what Jesus did, but they did not verbalize those criticisms. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, responded to those criticisms, though, as if they were openly voiced. The takeaway here, the interchanges between Jesus and his antagonists were not monolithically depicted. They varied from setting to setting. As we continue to explore that first tract in the chapter, Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9, we consider Jesus' first response to the charge brought against his disciples. It was, in a word, interesting. The scribes and the Pharisees accused the disciples of violating the tradition of the elders. Why? Because the disciples did not follow proper hand-washing protocol. The assumption, when you are in public, in the marketplace, for example, you are associating with many unclean, unholy elements of life, including practices and rituals, objects, and people. Thus, when you leave this unclean, unholy setting and you prepare to eat, you must cleanse yourself spiritually, maintaining purity laws before you eat, so that you can be acceptable to God as you eat. Their allegation, from their perspective, was not just that the disciples violated the tradition which had been handed down by the elders, but that the disciples sinned in doing so. That's a pretty serious charge. And for the scribes and the Pharisees, it was a pretty cut and dried black and white matter. They reasoned, "We are right, you are wrong, and your teacher, he's wrong too, for allowing you to violate the elders' traditions." Jesus was about to become even more wrong, if that's possible, by defending the actions of the disciples yet again, and by critiquing and by condemning the beliefs and the practices of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the tradition of the elders. Jesus started this way. Rather than deny that the disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders, Jesus pointed out that the scribes and the Pharisees also transgressed the commandment of God because of your tradition. Note the words, also transgressed. The scribes and the Pharisees used that same word, transgressed, in their accusation against the disciples. We have observed this before, but it's worthy of repetition. Transgression carries with it a sense of break or breaking, but it also has the sense of doing so with the implication of intent. Furthermore, Jesus' use of the term transgression addressed not just a violation of God's will, an actual transgression, but that their tradition as a whole transgressed God's commands. The specific tradition Jesus had in mind would be addressed in the following verses, Matthew 15, starting in verse 4. But he introduces the general subject of tradition here in anticipation of an example of a specific traditional observance that violated God's commandment. To be clear, let me restate what the Pharisees charged and then the essence of Jesus' rebuttal. First, the Pharisees charged the disciples with violating one aspect, one practice of the tradition of the elders, namely, failing to observe special hand-washing rules. Second, Jesus said that the scribes and the Pharisees also transgressed. But Jesus did not point to one aspect. Jesus did not point to one practice of the scribes and the Pharisees as proof that they violated or transgressed God's commandments. Jesus said that their tradition as a whole, not just this single belief or practice or some other specific belief or practice, but that the entire basis of their traditional beliefs transgressed God's commandments. Obviously, Jesus' charge was far greater than was the charge of the scribes and the Pharisees. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 15. These reminders as we conclude. To use our free, self-paced online Bible study program, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. If you prefer to study by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. You can also request that series by using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.